Okay. First off, let me give some explanation to the things that Heather's been putting on the board. The ancient Greek words had a numerical value, like the Roman, or like the Latin word has, the Roman numerals have value to them, okay? And so the first thing she put up there was dealing, that was from ancient Greece, okay? And so each letter had a particular value to it. So don't think that it's like the Roman numeral, like the Latin. That will confuse you. Okay? Now, this is a correction over here. She had, looked like two I's and had the wrong value. Basileia actually is an L here. Instead of a value of 10, it's a value of 30. Okay?
And then the other thing to keep in mind when we looked at that, and I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing this, Latin Basileia, the E's have different values. You'll notice that on Latin, one of the values of that E is an 8, but that's transliterated for the Greek letter eta. And then right here, this E has a value of 5, but that's transliterated for the letter epsilon. So there's different, they have different values. That's why the E's have different values. Sorry about that mistake.
Now, you can see from the things on the board, ecclesia, obviously, church, the Greek word, right? Right, so then we're talking about the Italian church. The total is 666, okay? And then this is an interesting one to me. Apostates, the departing from the faith is what apostate is. That adds up to 666. Then you see this, note the word tradition. This is a set of laws. A matter of fact, Lynn has it up on the screen that you can see. It's a transmission, a precept, specifically the Jewish traditionary law. In other words, it's a governing system. You think about the tradition of the church that governs people. They go more by tradition. Jesus told the Jews of his day that the traditions of men had made the word of God ineffective in them. And I'm telling you, tradition governs churches today. Okay? And it's interesting that it adds up to the 666. Okay?
One of the notes that I wrote down when we talked about this one, specifically for tradition, is the way that it was described or defined was one man handing down to another, one man handing to another. It's dealing with man, not God. See the difference? That's profound when you think about it. Tradition deals with man.
Okay, we ready to erase that?
Y'all ready for, I'm going to erase this and we're going to do one more.
Okay,
Latin.
Right here to me is the kicker of all of it. When the next thing that she puts up is really a defining factor, which will be denied by some, but truth is truth, and you can cover it up and hide it all you want to, but it'll come out in the end. Truth always prevails, okay?
I'm sorry. I did not take Latin in school.
That's it. Have you ever seen this word, this phrase? Okay. Now I want to give you the meaning of it. Now, this is what they say is not an official title, but it is. It's just not used in public because of this very thing right here. They don't want to admit it. But once we get this, I'm going to read you right out of their book some things. Okay, and then I'll let you formulate your own opinion. Okay, and so the word vicarious, have you ever heard of vicarious suffering? That's in place of. It's just substitutionary, right? And so vicarious is in place of. Philia is the son. Dia is God. In place of the Son of God. That's how the Pope operates. In place of the Son of God. Antichrist. Anti meaning opposed to or in the place of. Okay? And the numerical value is 666. Number of a man, not an individual person. You follow me? Now, I want to read you, and this is the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, okay? And I'm going to start on page 26, and this is what they say, talking about the Catholic Church, and the subtitle is Her Marks, okay? Are there any marks by which the Church of Christ can be recognized? There are four marks by which There are four marks by which the Church of Christ may be recognized. It must be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. How must the Church of Christ be one? Answer. The Church of Christ must be one in faith, in worship, in obedience, and one in the means of grace throughout the world. Question. How is the Church of Christ holy? The Church of Christ is holy because her founder, Jesus Christ, is holy. She teaches a holy doctrine. She invites all to live a holy life. And she has aided countless souls to attain great holiness. How is the Church of Christ Catholic? And the word Catholic means universal. How is the Church of Christ Catholic or universal? The Church of Christ is Catholic or universal because she teaches all the doctrine of Jesus Christ. She teaches all nations. She subsists in all ages. She was established by Jesus Christ to bring salvation to all of goodwill. I want you to note how many times she. Why is the Church of Christ apostolic? The Church of Christ is apostolic because she was founded by Jesus Christ on his apostles. She is governed by their lawful successors. She can never cease to teach their doctrine. The true church of today. What church of the present day can prove her claim to be the divine church founded by Jesus Christ? The only church of the present day which can prove her claim to be the divine church established by Jesus Christ is the Catholic Church. Well, how are they going to prove it? What is the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church is the church governed by the Pope, the Bishop of Rome. Why is the Catholic Church called Roman? The Catholic Church is called Roman because the Pope, her head, resides in Rome. Why is the Catholic Church the true church of Jesus Christ? The Catholic Church is the true church of Jesus Christ because she alone has apostolic succession. She alone possesses the attributes and marks of the true church. She alone exercises the authority which is necessary for the church of God. How did the other churches, sects, and denominations originate? All the other churches, sects, and denominations are of purely human origin. Now, six, the Pope, the primacy of Peter, the infallibility of the Pope. The Pope, who is the Holy Father or Pope? The Holy Father or Pope is the visible head of the church, the successor of St. Peter and the vicar of Christ on earth, vicar being substitute. Okay? My Bible tells me not to call no man on earth father. Why is a visible head necessary for the church? A visible head is necessary for the church to maintain her unity of faith, her unity of worship, and her unity of government. Why must the visible head of the church today be the successor of St. Peter? The visible head of the church today must be the successor of St. Peter because Jesus Christ made St. Peter the visible head of the church. The primacy of Peter. When did Christ promise to make St. Peter the head of his church? Now, just listen to the words, and it doesn't match. Christ promised to make St. Peter the head of his church when he said, "You're a Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." When did Christ make St. Peter the head of his church? Christ made St. Peter the head of his church when he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection and solemnly said to Simon Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Did Christ give St. Peter authority over the other apostles? Christ gave St. Peter authority over the other apostles. Question, what scriptural proofs are there for the primacy of Peter? The principal scripture proofs for the primacy of St. Peter are St. Matthew 2, called St. Peter the First Apostle. St. Peter proposed the election of a successor to Judas, Acts 1. St. Peter was the first to preach, Acts 2. The first to perform miracles, Acts 3. The first to rebuke civil authorities, Acts 4. The first to receive Gentile converts, Acts 10. In the Council of Jerusalem, There was much disputing until Peter spoke, when all the multitude held their peace. When the chief pastor was in prison, prayers were offered for his delivery. So that makes him the head of the church by their definition. The infallibility of the Pope. Was St. Peter infallible in teaching faith and morals? St. Peter was infallible in teaching faith and morals. Why is the Pope an infallible teacher in faith and morals? The Pope is an infallible teacher in faith and morals because the attributes of a divine church are necessarily found in their fullness in her headship, which the Pope inherits from St. Peter. I didn't know you could inherit virtue. When does the Pope teach with the infallible guidance of the Holy Ghost? The Pope teaches with the infallible guidance of the Holy Ghost only when he acts as his official capacity as vicar or substitute of Christ. That is, when he publicly teaches a doctrine of faith or morals to be held by all the faithful. Who are the successors of the other apostles? The successors of the other apostles are the bishops of the Catholic Church. Why does the Catholic Church use the Latin language in the sacrifice of the Mass and in the administration of the sacraments? The Catholic Church uses the Latin, a dead language, whose words always retain the same meaning, to preserve the original doctrine in all its purity, to safeguard the proper form of sacraments, to obtain clearness and precision in her laws. In some parts of the church, Greek and other ancient languages are used. Now that's straight out of their book. So when did Jesus Christ appoint the Catholic Church to be the successor of Peter? When did Jesus appoint Peter to be the head of the church? Jesus said he was the head. Paul, you read in Colossians, Paul says Jesus is the head of the church. And according to that, then the Catholic Church is the only true church on earth. That means if you're not Catholic, you're in trouble. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, we put these things up to you to show how these things that had to do, several different words dealing with the Latin men, dealing with apostate, dealing with the Basilei, these type things, to show you how many times the number 666 is used. Not identifying Nero or Hitler or any Stalin or any of the rest of them, but identifying the position that a man is in. And so people think of the Pope as man, right? Or Antichrist. But my position, and I believe the Lord revealed this to me years ago, that Antichrist is a system, the Pope is a spokesman. You with me? There's collaboration. You follow me? Now, this is who everybody looks to when some universal decision must be made. Who do they get to make that universal decision? They go to the Pope. And he sets things in concrete, so to speak. The most corrupt church on the face of the earth is the Catholic Church. Let me ask you this. What church does the mafia attend? Just check it out. You didn't know how religious they were, did you? No, this is an apostate church. They've moved away from Christ and placed themselves in the position of. That, my friend, is anti-Christ. You with me? And so, even now, the Catholic Church, and you can read this in their handbook, this actually is what they give to a new convert, and you sign this. It's like signing a contract. And you're told if you ever leave the Catholic Church, you go to hell. I had a man years ago that was a tremendous teacher and a good man to come and talk to me because he had grown up in Catholicism from his early years. And he told me that he was really struggling with something because he had left the Catholic Church and was, you know, attending Protestant church and in ministry as a Protestant. And he said, I'm afraid of going to hell. I said, what? I said, are you born again? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Why would you be afraid of going to hell? And he said, this has haunted me all my life because I've been told that if I ever leave, I'm doomed to hell. Does that sound like Jesus? Not at all. Not at all. God's willing to take anyone back who would repent. Right? And so there's so much power displayed. And we've looked at this, and I mean, I have research material probably that thick, just on the Rome, the mark of the beast, and all these different things that I've looked at. And I'm not just talking off the top of my head. But I believe several years ago that the Lord revealed this Antichrist system, this 13th chapter of Revelation, to me in a way I've never heard a human being teach it. That Antichrist is a system. That system has governing bodies, and those governing bodies have spokesmen for those governing bodies, and there is one general spokesman for everything. But it's all in collaboration. You with me? I said, remember she. How many times she, the church, she. When we get on into Revelation, you're going to find that great whore. And we'll get into some things there that's committed idolatry, through greed, through commerce, through whatever. And what does God say? You get out of that. You get out of it. It's going down. But it will do great damage before it goes down. You with me in all this? Okay. And so I felt like we needed to just take some time and just tell you the things that we've learned through research with the numbers. And I didn't say this pope or that pope. I just said the titles, the names, that's going to be a major spokesman for the Antichrist system. But you're going to see governing bodies. You're seeing it. It's already in the before your eyes. What is the UN? The UN is not a nation. It's a governing body that governs nations. Right? And they have formed their own police that have no allegiance to any one nation. Their allegiance is to the United Nations. And so what have we done here in America to in collaboration with that? You ever heard of Homeland Security? That's independent of your military, although they'll call it that. It's independent of your police. You with me? So that's governed by a select few. You follow me? And so all around you, every day, you're seeing all these things. And I can tell you that the UN is corrupt as it can be. These police, they go into the place, the CN, the Communist News Network, will tell you that they're doing good. But the bottom line is, they are anti-Christ. They are against Jesus Christ. And they commit all kinds of atrocities themselves. It's like mercenary. You understand? Now, that brings me to something else. I had a phone call today asking me what I thought about what was going on in Israel. I said, well, I'm not trying to put anything to it. Do you think this is the end of the world? No. Well, is this Armageddon? No. Is this Gog and Magog? No, I don't think so, because it doesn't match. If you read Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, it defines nations, Libya, Ethiopia, as well as Gog, which is believed to be modern-day Turkey. No, that's not who they're fighting against. They're not fighting against a nation. It's not even Palestinians. It's a terrorist group. Hamas is a terrorist group. Just like Al-Qaeda or all the others you've heard of throughout the years. They're just a group of terrorists that love violence. They love to commit crime. They love to hurt people. You understand? I mean, they live to do that. But I don't see it matching Gog and Magog. And the battle of Armageddon is fighting against Jesus Christ. You follow me? And so, I am a staunch supporter of Israel. And I pray for Israel every day and have been for years. You understand? So I don't stand up and just publicly pray for Israel. That's just a show. I'll do my praying privately before the Lord. You with me? And I would recommend that you do the same thing. Regardless of what you think about them, God is keeping His covenant with Abraham. Now, to fight against that is to fight against God. And that's a losing proposition. Now, there are things that I know that Israel will incur. You mean, if you look at the 70 weeks of Daniel, that was peculiar to Israel. And if you look at the Olivet Discourse, some of those things are peculiar to just Israel. Those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Are you in Judea? then evidently that doesn't apply to you. And so you have to separate these things. You'll find that Old Testament prophecy was given in a group. In other words, a prophet would prophesy, but it wouldn't always happen in the same time period. For instance, when Jesus stood up, you can see this in Mark 4:18 in his hometown, and he read from Isaiah. He didn't read all the prophecy. He read the part that's fulfilled. You follow me? And look at Isaiah's prophecies, the different periods of time, other prophets, different periods of time. So don't group it all together. Now you have all these prophetic voices right now that's jumped on the bandwagon trying to get viewing on YouTube or whatever, that's trying to tell you that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, that this is this and this is that. That, my friend, is not prophecy. That is speculation. And there's a world of difference between God inspiring you to say something and you trying to put a puzzle together. You with me? And so what's going on today? I'll tell you like I told the person on the phone. I don't know. All I know is Israel's at war. That's what I know. And I'm not about to try to tie this to this to this to this unless God specifically speaks that to me. It's a dangerous thing. And you've got to stop listening to these deceptive voices. Had there other prophecies come to pass? Then why do you keep following the person year after year after year when what they're saying is not coming to pass? Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. And I've done my best to stay with this written Word as well as to what I believe God spoke to me concerning Antichrist being a system that's going to deceive people because they're looking for a person. And they get duped by not understanding the systems in place. It's already here. And if you use a debit card, a credit card, then you have 666 embedded in it. You with me? And I'm not telling you to stop using your credit card and debit card. I'm telling you, don't be deceived. You know what's going on. And when they say, all right, now you're going to have to take this mark. Now, you know, I grew up here and that was tattoo. Well, I don't really think it's tattoo because I think it would be hard to get the whole populace to tattoo. Although there is a craze of tattooing going on today, which may be anesthetizing to people to where they would take a tattoo. But I also know that years ago, Motorola had a chip that could be injected through a needle about the size of a grain of rice with all the information about you, the database in you. You with me? And if you look up at the sky and you see them seeding clouds, they're not God clouds. They're man clouds. Man made it. And you can see the aluminum oxide in it. And you watch it. Just stand there and watch it. People have told me, that's not true. Stand there and watch it. And watch that cloud. Watch that chemical trail coming out of that airplane. Just watch it turn into a cloud. And they're doing this out of Alaska with a system called HARP, which the chemical that they're laying out in the sky can be electrically charged, and they can form clouds, and they can do all kinds of things with increased wind, with rain, with whatever. It's all around you. Knowledge has increased. That's what God told Daniel would happen. Knowledge would increase. I'm telling you, we're at an unprecedented level of information. And we are at an unprecedented level of lack of wisdom or common sense. We have the most stupid population probably ever been on the earth. No common sense. But they are loaded with information. But not common sense. You with me? You better wake up. You understand? Get your wisdom from God. Get your information from God. And let God give you the understanding to know how to apply this information. Okay? Now, I realize that I stepped out on a limb tonight. But I'm willing to do that to get the truth to you. And I'm telling you, you better beware. Because you can go to bed tonight and everything will be right. And tomorrow you can wake up and everything will be just turned upside down for you. You with me? So, take this serious. Yeah. And we'll stop right there and we'll pick back up at chapter 14 in our next session. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Now, this information is not to scare you. This information is to get you very alert so you can guard your heart with all diligence. Amen.